As an industry, the state of checkout is embarrassing.
I don't have to buy into a monolith that's built by one company with one ethos and one approach.
Entrepreneurship is the greatest vehicle for equality and independence and whatever your unique definition of success might be.
I think you win in e-commerce with people.
You can actually have a different checkout experience for different customer groups.
Welcome to Own Your Commerce. This is a show focused on what it takes to scale the best e-commerce brands in the world. I'm your host, Jay Myers, and the show is brought to you by Bold Commerce. Hey, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Own Your Commerce. I'm so excited to have Deepak Jain here today. And quick background on him. Deepak Jain has built actually many products and businesses in the NFC payment space, neobanking, blockchain, cross-border payment spaces. He's had multiple successful exits, and his most recent venture, Wink, which is a biometric identity and payments authentication platform. That's a mouthful right there. We're going to get into. It uses advanced face, voice, and device recognition with AI and machine learning built in to basically eliminate fraud and identity theft in payments and in the e-commerce industry. He has over 50 patents, which I'm excited to get into that because I have some questions around that. More pending, specifically in the payment and security industry. And he's got a passion for the fintech space, payments, blockchain, Internet of Things, which makes him a very respected thought leader. He's an angel investor and he's a mentor to others in the space. Deepak, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for taking the time to be here.
Thank you, Jay. It's a pleasure to be here.
That's quite the intro, and I feel like there's probably more there that is not even on that list, but let me just ask you first, 50 patents, that is crazy. We've actually got some patents pending at Bold, and I know the process it is to go through that, and it's hard to imagine 50. Have they gone through, or are a lot of those pending? Or
yeah, so that journey started during my corporate career, towards the fag end of my corporate career, which actually ended in 2008. So after that, I've been in entrepreneurial journeys since 2008. So I really got deep into mobile security and smartphone commerce in the early days of NFC, which was late 2000s, you know, in the 2007-8 timeframe with my first venture. And that's when we really filed a lot of IP in the area of how smartphones can run cryptographic calculations. Coincidentally, 2007 was when the iPhone came out, but my first startup was also founded in 2007. And no relationship at all with that coincidence. But it was the time when everyone was looking at what more can phones do? And will the phones start replacing tickets and boarding passes and credit cards and keys and your alarm clocks? And, you know, we've all seen that happen over the course of years. So we filed a lot of IP around the area of cryptography and smartphones and chips and how you add different type of encryption to smartphones and how smartphones can communicate with other devices at a short range and things of that sort. So that's when my patent filing journey started. And it has continued ever since. I mean, on all the ventures that I have created, I have a strong belief on putting a lot of IP together and making it a part of the portfolio. So that's the reason of these many patents. A lot of them have been granted and sold. I don't own them anymore. They are sold with the ventures. So but yeah, a lot of them have gone through and some that are pending.
So your current company is Wink. And as you were talking there about what we, in 2007, which isn't that long ago, things that we only dreamed of, like it sounds so simple, but you know, your phone being your boarding pass, paying with your phone. And it's weird to think of that not being a normal thing. But I do remember the first time I ever saw someone, I saw a commercial for someone with a phone walking up and it was a Coke vending machine and they tapped their phone saying that you can pay with your phone, and my mind was blown. We're going to get into Wink. I think some of the things you're doing with Wink right now seem ahead, and I would put them in that kind of futuristic space, but I think we'll become very commonplace and we'll be looking back at it in time. So describe to us, what is Wink before we get into it?
Yeah, so Wink is a technology platform that converts a camera into a biometric sensor and a biometric payments and authentication device all at once. You know, there are a lot of camera-enabled devices, as we all know, that go beyond your phone and computer into POSs and ATMs and vending machines, as you mentioned. And what Wink does, it provides software to enable those type of devices to be able to recognize, authenticate, and take payments from a consumer who is in front of that camera. So we've built pretty sophisticated AI-based algorithm in the back end and some very, very cool front-end applications to enable that. And really our dream and our hope is that institutions of all sizes in all verticals would be able to deploy these smart biometrically enabled experiences to, you know, transform how consumers authenticate themselves and pay, whether it's online or retail or in other channels as well.
Okay, so I want to get into definitely the payment side, the commerce side. That's what we're about on the show. But just to kind of give some details, I guess, on biometric identification. How does it work? Is it using the camera? Is it using the LiDAR, the sensors? Is it your eyes? Is it the shape of your face? Like, how does that work?
Yeah, so what we do is we have software that breaks your face into vectors that represent the various features of your face. So there are vectors, there could be as many as 30 to 50 vectors that represent your face or different features of your face, your eyes, your nose, your forehead, and so on. And then these vectors are put into a decentralized database in the cloud. And when someone appears in front of the camera, our software in real time breaks that face also into vectors. And then these vectors are searched in the database and we find the closest match. And that's how we know who might be in front of the camera without actually knowing any personal information about that user. So we don't store any real images or any real videos. All we are having is this vector map. Think about a filter applied to your face that converted your face into a big matrix of numbers. These are the vectors that represent your face. The matrix cannot be reverse engineered into a face, but if another face comes in front of the camera and the same process is applied to that face, a similar vector map is generated and then they are compared with what's in the database, so that you know who is in front of the camera. And the AI is smart enough to know how close the match is. And if the match is not that close because of environmental factors, you might be wearing a big headphone or a cap, and the match might be 10% away from certainty, 90% or 80% confidence, the AI will then augment that information with other information that's available, either about the device that the user is in front of, whether it's their personal device or a shared device. And if needed, it will prompt the user to speak a few words if the device is microphone enabled. And then a similar process can occur on the voice as well, breaking the voice into vectors and then comparing those vectors as well. And then the AI combines all that information and is able to predict or pretty deterministically say that it's you without needing any username, any password, any one-time code, or anything of that sort that can be hacked or fished away from you.
Okay, so a couple questions. What is the statistical level of, I guess, what's the word, chances that there's like the same face or the same, I know with like fingerprints, it's one in something like 10 million or something like that. Or do you have those data points?
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty common information. Now, the trick with face is that it is highly dependent on the background and on the environmental factors, lighting, for example. So with just face alone, you can never get to a 99% plus certainty, unless everything is perfect, right? You've got great resolution, you've got very clear background, your lighting is perfect. So if that is the case, just by face alone, you can achieve one in 100 million type of certainty, but that's very rare. So you have to frequently combine the facial data with some other pieces of information. Especially when you are comparing the face to a database that may have 10 million faces, then it is even harder. Now, what some of the other technologies do, they do compare the face just one-to-one because that mapping of the face is stored locally on the phone. Now, that's a much easier problem to solve. Right? You're just taking one map and you're comparing with another, and that could be pretty quick and can have a pretty good confidence. But then when you are comparing a face with millions of faces in the database, just face alone, can achieve very frequently between 90 to 95% confidence, sometimes even 99% confidence, just by itself. But the moment you combine that with device data or voice data, you start to get to the 1 in 100 million, 1 in a billion type of chances of potentially there being a false positive.
This is potentially more secure than Apple Face or, you know, your phone recognition, which only uses your face. This is a layer further, which is if it doesn't have a perfect match on face, you have to say something and then it layers in your voice. So it's statistically more secure than your iPhone, for example. Would that be a safe statement?
That's literally apple to orange comparison because...
No pun intended, right?
No pun intended, yeah. Because, you know, you are comparing a one-to-one match locally on device in a highly controlled environment to the capability to detect someone in a database that could have 20 million people, right? So it's completely different technology. There are advantages of both. Obviously, if data is stored locally on your device, it's very fast to do a one-to-one comparison. If you are comparing one into 10 million databases, your faces in a database, it's obviously going to take a little longer. So it's not as fast as that. But the downside is on a local device, you have a backdoor. You have got a PIN code that you can bypass the security of the facial recognition. And that is a invitation to hackers. You may have heard of shoulder surfing, where they'll try to find your PIN and steal your phone and then get your PIN and they're in your phone. And once they're in your phone, they have access to your WhatsApp messages and, you know, God knows what all data. So that's the downside of there being a side door entry and bypassing the biometrics. In our case, we do not let that happen and we actually step up the authentication. If we have a doubt that the person's face is not really confident enough, the match is not confident enough, we step that up to add additional data like device and voice, making it even more difficult for a hacker to try to compromise. We also have liveness detection, which is now the iPhone has gotten very good at that. In the early days of the facial recognition on the iPhone, there were instances where people were able to fool it with another picture or recorded video, but those instances have gone away. Similarly, on our technology, we are now able to do a very good liveness detection wherein you can't fool it with a picture or a selfie or a video, which makes, again, a human presence a vital part of the service that we offer.
For sure. I want to ask one more question before we get into the commerce side of it, because all our listeners are excited about that. But like, if someone's wondering right now, just to put them at ease, some listeners are probably wondering, well, what do you do with my facial data? How is it stored? I know many devices use your fingerprint for identification, your face. And I think the younger generation is very used to this, but maybe the older generation isn't as much and they might have some concerns. What can you say about that? To how is it stored? And what do you usually tell people to put them at ease with those kind of questions?
Well, first of all, we don't store information that can lead it back to you. So the face, as I mentioned, is stored in vectors. The vectors are anonymous. This is just a matrix of numbers representing your features. You can't really assign them to an individual. That's one aspect. The other aspect is we have decentralized the architecture to an extent where face data is stored in a different node versus voice data versus device data versus any other data like your payment cards or address or anything like that. So that makes it really, really very hard for anyone, even if they may have unauthorized access, to really piece things together. And thirdly, we don't do it without permission. And there are use cases that banks and retailers and payment companies are very, very fond of, that where they are deploying these biometric experiences. But that literally requires the permission from the shopper or the user to actually have them profiled in a biometric database. Again, we are not here to make money from tracking or ads or any of that sort. That's not part of our business model. We are providing this purely as a service to remove fraud from the internet and to make experiences better. So we don't use or track any kind of shopping behavior on our platform.
Gotcha. So on that note of making shopping experiences better, I know one of the reasons we're talking today and the way we met is Wink became an official biometric payments partner with Bold Checkout. There's been a lot of press about it recently. One of the reasons why we're having this podcast today to dive into that so people understand it. But can you explain how does Wink, I mean, there's reasons for biometric security in a lot of areas, but with commerce and with checkout, how does it work with checkout?
So there are various angles that makes biometric become a real value add in a checkout experience. To start with, commerce brands really have a problem today of bots and synthetic identities that are taking over the checkout experience for a variety of reasons, either simply to conduct fraud or to get access to exclusive products or many of those type of vulnerabilities today. So to be able to ensure that a real human is shopping at your website so that you can provide access and better service to your loyal shoppers, that's a very important use case for biometrics. The other use case is really moving from a password-oriented journey to a more personalized passwordless journey. It's a known fact that passwords introduce drop-offs in conversions. Forgotten password journeys, you know, a hassle for everyone, not just the merchant, but also the customer service, the consumer themselves. That's a problem that is eliminated with biometrics. Personalization is another area where being able to know more information about the shopper, for example, age, in some cases where the merchant might be selling certain age-restricted products, that's another area for biometrics. And general fraud reduction, you can think of biometrics as potentially a signature for every payment that you make online. Same thing as you do in a physical store after you buy something, you sign for it. Same way on an e-commerce transaction now, this experience could be replicated where you buy something and you sign for it. Now you cannot conduct what is called friendly fraud on that transaction by claiming that you never did it, right? So these are all areas that are important for both the financial institutions and the brands. And this is why biometrics at checkout could be very interesting. And merchants are not just present online. They're also present in store. A lot of merchants have omni-channel experiences. They also want to provide better service to their loyal shoppers when they're going in store. So to be able to identify those shoppers and really modernize that experience, that's another area that we are looking at.
Okay, so explain to me now, you're not a payments company. You're the biometric identity portion of it. How does payments work then? What's that process like as a customer? Do I upload my credit cards? Can you do different payments or how does that work?
Yeah, so this was early on, actually, when we started Wink. The company was called PayFave. And really the idea was pay with your face or voice. That was the genesis of the name there. And then we clearly rebranded to Wink.
Wink is much better than PayFace, by the way.
That's right. So the original thought, and it's still very much part of our thesis, is that consumer experiences will move beyond your regular HTML site or mobile app or what you're used to doing in e-commerce. It's going to move to potentially virtual reality enabled experiences, it's going to move to omni-channel experiences, voice commerce, where you might be shopping with your Siri or Alexa. You might be shopping in the car while you are driving. You might be wearing the Apple Vision Pro and having a virtual experience in a store and shopping. So the experience is going to move beyond your typical experience where you're typing in a credit card number manually and shipping address manually and all of that. So to be able to link your credit card and your bank account or another wallet that you have to your face and potentially even your loyalty card number, or discount code, or coupon or gift card to your face, so that once you present your face, all that data is securely available to the checkout, that's really where payment fits in. And that makes the process not just secure and fraud resistant, but also very, very attractive to both the merchant and the shopper.
So when I create a Wink profile or account, I can put in my Visa, my MasterCard, other wallet pays or buy now, pay laters, or what does it look like?
Any and everything, yes. You can connect your PayPal account. You can connect your bank account. You can connect your BNPL account. The way the system is designed, it can consume any external identity and link it with your biometric identity. Even your driver's license, you could link that in your biometric profile, what we call a biometric wallet. essentially. So when you present your face, the wallet is unlocked and everything that's in your wallet can be presented to the checkout, your driver's license, your credit card number, or your bank account number. So there's no limitation or restriction to how many credentials you can associate to your face. And voice is even better because voice can be also used to select between the various payment instruments. You can just say, hey, it's Jay, pay with my Visa, right? With that those few words, you not only have authenticated yourself, but you've also told the checkout which one of the payment methods you want to use.
Okay, so does the merchant have to use a specific processor, or does, if the customer says pay with Visa, let's just say the merchant is using like Chase or Authorize.net or Braintree or something, is it processed through their existing payment processor, or does Wink process it and then send the funds?
No, Wink is not a payment processor. Yeah, we are a router. So think of us as a router, and behind the router, you can plug in any payment provider connection that you have. You may have an account with Chase, or you may have an account with Stripe, or you may have an account with checkout.com. You just plug it in. So we have developed that part of the platform where you can provision as a merchant your existing payment account with your existing payment provider. What we will do once we have authenticated the end user, we will pick up the payment token. In some case, even re-tokenize the payment token. If the type of the token that's connected by the user is not capable of being processed by the particular processor, we can re-tokenize it so that they can process it. And then we send that token to them to process. We make an attempt to try to tokenize every payment transaction. We make an attempt to not send real card numbers to anyone. And as the industry moves towards that, this is going to get even more and more obvious that your face and your biometric profile can actually start representing both yourself and your payment account as well. You don't need to have two different tokens. They can all start to converge and become one.
Okay, so whatever payment methods the merchant accepts, if they accept Visa, MasterCard, American Express, and if that's stored in Wink and the customer logs in through Wink, gets authenticated, either says pay with my Visa or clicks pay with Visa or whatever, however they choose, then that's sent to the processor in a tokenized form that's secure. Processor processes it, merchant gets their money.
And that can happen both online and in retail and in a car or in a self-checkout, on a kiosk, anywhere there's a camera.
Which is something that it's a nuance that, you know, you probably get compared to like Apple Pay a lot, you said earlier, that's like apples and oranges. And I get it now. And I've heard you say that before. And now it makes complete sense to me that my face is stored in my Apple phone. Nobody else's face, but my face. And when I log into my Apple phone, it's just checking that it's me. It can't check that it's you or anyone else. It has me stored. So if I wanted to have, you couldn't put Apple Pay in a vending machine and just use your face. Like I could tap my phone if I have my phone, but let's say I don't have my phone. I couldn't pay with my face at a vending machine, but I could pay with Wink at a vending machine because it taps into the database that has it, correct?
You pay with your face on a vending machine enabled with Wink. So as long as the vending machine has a camera and the Wink software is available on that vending machine camera, or on the software in the vending machine, then your face is essentially not only your authentication mechanism, but also your wallet.
See, it's interesting, like you don't see this very often where in the same sentence you can say this technology drastically increases security, prevents fraud, and also speeds up checkout and increases conversion. Like that doesn't usually anything where you're doing extra fraud checks, like you're adding CAPTCHA and different authentications, or you're doing like authorized by Visa, the extra step in between. And those all help prevent fraud, but they add extra steps in the checkout and decrease conversion. Wink increases security and reduces fraud and also speeds up checkout.
Absolutely. That's the exciting part. That's really what gets us super excited. That's also what gets our customers super excited, is that confluence of increased security and increased convenience, something that was really hard to do. Apple demonstrated that in their environment with Apple Pay. And as you realize, it is meant for a very specific use case. But absolutely, the capability to increase conversions while reducing fraud and potentially even personalizing that experience is really where this can disrupt your common checkout today.
when someone asks you, what's the difference between Wink and Apple Pay? I get the facial, like Apple stores one, Wink stores it. So it's device agnostic. What else do you say as a comparison with Apple Pay that makes Wink unique?
Yeah, it's really the evolution of the experiences that the customers are going to have with your brand. Are you really limiting that experience to just a tap at a store as well as a click on your app in the phone? What about when you're in the car? What about in a kiosk? What about when you might be shopping on Alexa? What about when you are on a browser, you know, so to be able to have an omni-channel experience. What about if you want to create experiences that have a very customized workflow? For example, we have merchants that are saying, I want to introduce the biometric authentication when someone is purchasing something above $1,000. And I have never gotten an order from that customer before, right? So you've got certain conditions that are there. That's when they want to have that extra security of biometrics. For Apple Pay, it's a one size fits all, right? You either have it or you don't have it. And there is limited capability to customize that workflow. In some cases, there is even limited data that you get as a merchant. It's a guest checkout experience, and that's all you get, that you're being paid, and here's the order, and here is the, you know, transaction ID, but there's nothing else about the customer. You don't even know if it was you or if it was somebody else with your PIN who made that purchase. This allows merchants and brands to create their own experiences in the channels that they want and their own workflows and customize those workflows, which is really where the power of the platform is.
Well, and actually that's a match made in heaven with Bold Checkout. And like, I know this is a self-promoting statement here, but you can create different checkout flows based off of who a customer is, what they're buying, you know, where they're coming from, device they're on. And so you can create a flow if they're buying products of a certain value to then show Wink as an option or enforce Wink, and not if it's different products.
Absolutely. Do it for the first time shopper, because that's where a lot of fraud occurs. Do it for an unknown email address, because that's where the risk is. You may have a third-party fraud provider who may give you a, you know, intermediate fraud score saying, hey, I'm not quite sure if this is a real user or not. I'm not quite sure if this is a fraud or not. Do it in that case, right? So it's really up to the merchant to introduce the flow that they want.
Is there a limit to how much can be processed? I can't remember what it is, but I have a limit on my tap. It's a couple $100 or something. So I can't buy a TV and tap my phone, I have to...
That's a Canada thing.
Is that a Canadian thing?
That's maybe a Canadian thing, yes.
We're tighter up here in Canada.
Yes. I have purchased a TV at or a computer with a tap at Best Buy. I'm quite sure. I don't believe in the US with what we still have here is a tap and signature. There's any limit here in the US, but I'm familiar with the tap and PIN in Europe and potentially a tap and PIN in Canada. There are certain transaction limits.
But essentially, you're paying with a credit card with Wink. So whatever your limit on your card is, there's no limit at all with Wink. It's just whatever you can put through on your card or whatever payment method.
That's correct. Now, having said that, the payment networks, Visa and MasterCard and others, are really laying down specific rules on what a biometrically authenticated payment does to a merchant from a financial incentive standpoint, from liability standpoint. There are going to be, for sure, upcoming rules on how this type of a payment is classified, especially when you talk about retail environment. E-commerce, there's a lot more flexibility, a lot more leeway.
Do you see in the future Visa and MasterCard giving better processing rates when a card is passed from Wink versus manually entered? Because if it's passed through Wink, you have a scenario where it's like 99.999 or almost zero fraud. I know that Visa and MasterCard rates are a certain rate because of fraud that does happen.
It's available today. A network tokenized transaction has an incentive from Visa. It falls in the middle of you inserting a chip and you manually entering a card number, right? So this is in the middle. So definitely available. In Europe with 3D Secure, now there are options where you can do biometric authentication, which also absolves the merchant from liability of any fraud. Those type of rules are expected to come as well to the US, where a biometrically authenticated network tokenized transaction might not have a fraud liability even on e-commerce. We are expecting those type of rules to come up.
That's amazing. Because merchants are always on the hook if there's fraud. The cardholder generally always gets their money back. Money comes back from the merchant. The merchant shipped the goods. And now they have to prove through a chargeback dispute that they sent it to the address on file. There's a whole process. And
not only do they lose the money on that product that they've already shipped, but they also have to pay $30, $40 as an additional fee to their payment processor to handle that chargeback, right? So those fraud costs do mount up. So by straight up putting biometric authentication, that is going to make a significant impact, even today. And then in the future, you may see discounts coming on the processing side as well.
And you're only allowed a certain, I don't know what the percentage is, but it's like a 0.05% of your transactions. If they are chargeback, you can lose your ability to process credit cards. And
yeah, you can get penalties. Your account can get suspended. You know, there are lots of things that can happen if you have frequent chargebacks. Absolutely.
Yeah. A lot of side benefits here. I just want to say thank you to all the support everyone has given this show. The feedback and reviews have been amazing. I'm truly humbled and honored that we have a perfect 5.0 five-star rating in iTunes. If you're one of the people that have left a review, sincerely thank you. We read every single one. If you haven't left one yet and you're enjoying the show, would you consider leaving one right now? If you do, thank you so much. Okay, on with the show. I saw you at NRF a few weeks ago. Wink had a booth, and I remember you saying it was a great show. Just out of curiosity, what were some of the things that you were most excited about coming out of NRF? Like some of the conversations you had or people you talked to, or just overall observations that excited you?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think one of the real pleasure and real proof point when a technology starts to find use cases that your customers think of, that you have not even thought of yourself, right? You really get that validation that, yes, what you're doing, you're onto something that could really be valuable to your customers. So we got a lot of that type of market validation. We got a lot of those type of use cases where our customers came up with ideas saying that, can we do this? Can we solve this problem? Can we have implemented here, right? So a lot of very interesting new use cases have emerged from that conference that we're really excited about.
That's awesome. I love that. Other than people suggesting things at the show, are there general types of companies or verticals, or is it that can use this? I mean, who do you see as your ICP, your ideal customer profile for Wink?
Omnichannel retailers, really. Retailers that have both an online and a e-commerce presence and are really looking to develop some great experiences. That's a great customer profile. Retailers that really need age verification and they are selling restricted products, that's another area that we are looking at. Generally, e-commerce merchants that have a authentication fraud problem due to bots. We've all heard of the scalpers stealing all the PS5s and the Taylor Swift concert tickets and all of that. So e-commerce merchants that have that problem.
Like the shoe drops when there's a new Nike shoe dropped and all the bots buy it up. I mean, this would almost all but prevent that. I mean, you can still have people crashing the site, but at least it's real humans who deserve to purchase it, not bots.
Absolutely. It is a very, very simple implementation to actually put a human presence check into a new product drop and ensure that only real humans can get it. So we are excited about those type of implementations coming up.
And I'm seeing, I don't know if you've been, I'm sure you are, but I see all these AI cracking every CAPTCHA code there is out there. And even like those really, really hard ones where it's like pick three animals in this picture and there's something that hardly looks like an animal, but you think it's an animal, but AI now can scan and see the animals. And like, I don't know, but I feel like these CAPTCHA are almost useless, but this maybe solves that unless CAPTCHA comes out with something else. Or
yeah, that's my favorite way to explain how we are moving the paradigm, right? Because for me, AI is making the fraudsters, the hackers smarter. There are a lot of cybersecurity companies that are deploying AI to defeat the hackers. But for them, it's always a moving goalpost. The moment you solve one use case, there's another one enabled by AI. So you're always chasing a moving target if you are trying to defeat a bot. or AI-generated transaction with AI. So what we are saying is it's better to identify the human and serve him better. That's a known quantifiable problem versus unbound problem of continuously chasing a moving goalpost, because as every day the AI gets smarter, the hackers get smarter. So any algorithm that you put to beat them, they are one step ahead, right? So if you rather focus on the human and recognize the human and serve the human better, you don't have to worry about what the bots are doing.
And you know what's the worst of CAPTCHA is I've abandoned checkouts because I enter the letters, I entered it, that's incorrect. I entered it again, that's incorrect. And then my phone rings and I forget about the order. I'm trying to pick how many cars are in these 9-tile thing and they confuse me. And I'm busy and I'm trying to order while I'm in a line at Starbucks. And then I got this CAPTCHA and I just abandoned the checkout. So not only are CAPTCHAs getting hacked by AI, it causes friction in the checkout where Wink reduces it plus solves it. Man, I should be a salesperson for Wink here, but it seems such a logical thing. I get excited when I think about it because it's not just the security, it's checkout abandonment that these CAPTCHAs cause as well too, which is huge.
Yeah, that CAPTCHA is a perfect example of going in the diametrically opposite direction of increasing conversions, right? You are really turning away perfectly good shoppers with that, right? So this is a way to not do that.
What do you call this category? Is it a wallet pay? Like you've got this aspect of a CAPTCHA, like it's not a CAPTCHA, but you're verifying the person. You've got the stored payments. It's a seamless experience. Like you don't have to enter a credit card. So like Shop Pay and Apple Pay. And like, is there a category for this? Or are you defining a category or how do you see that?
No, it is a category. It's being called verifiable credentials. That's a very technical term. But that's something that is getting popular in the industry. Accountable digital identity, that's another term for something that we are doing, where you can not just authenticate someone, but you can rely on that identity being safe and belonging to a human. So those are some of the industry terms that are coming up. Decentralized identity has been around for a few years as well. What we are doing is not 100% decentralized identity, but it's still, I would make it closer to a verifiable credential is what Wink is. And when you combine it with the payment, it becomes a biometric wallet of sorts with more than just your payment information. It's also combining identity and payments into a wallet.
I know it's going back a little bit, but we were talking about the benefits of it being increasing conversion and the benefits there, but also security. Do you have any data points off the top of your head that you know, like what effect it has on conversion? I imagine it might have like an effect on average order volume going up. Like if I'm people buying higher ticketed items or lifetime value, if I shop somewhere, I can just check out with my face while I'm in bed and I don't have to go get my wallet. Like maybe I buy more. Do you have any data points off the top of your head around any of those?
Yeah, it's a bit early in our life cycle, 2.5-year-old company. So for us, it's a really early to come up with conclusive data points of exactly what it does in terms of statistical numbers. But we have definitely seen evidence of all of what you have said, right? In terms of people converting more, people shopping more, people not calling customer service for forgotten passwords anymore, seeing evidence of all of that.
What about the data that you have on shoppers? So you're getting, and maybe this isn't part of the roadmap, but just you're getting a good picture of who a shopper is, where they buy, what type of products, are they high-end, low-end, you know, what they're interested in?
Not something that we do. No, we don't do any of that. In fact, we are moving closer and closer to what we call a zero-knowledge proof. We actually don't know anything about you. We actually don't want to know anything about you. We actually do not even know who you are. So we are coming very, very close to zero knowledge proof. Even the payment data that we store is tokenized. So we don't even know the real card data. The address, we don't know. It's again tokenized. We are coming closer and closer to being capable of proving that you are you, giving the data to our customers with specialized keys that they can decrypt it and actually get that data themselves. But as Wink, we are going further and further away from knowing anything about you into more of a zero knowledge type of infrastructure.
I actually really like that. And I think people would appreciate that that's the direction the company is going versus using the data to market to you more and give product recommendations and other things like that, but you're going to anonymize it to the completeness. I think that's actually the right direction to go. So that's awesome to hear. Do you, as far as Wink, I know you said your life cycle, it's still relatively early, but really good traction. A lot of exciting things happen. What are you most excited about for the roadmap or the future? I know there's probably some stuff you can't speak of, but maybe some stuff you can speak to. What are you most excited about for the next foreseeable future for Wink?
You know, we really are excited about the impact we will have on e-commerce. Our mission is to really make the internet a safer place for humans. We really would like to see a lot of companies cooperate with us, ensuring a better shopping place for humans. We want to make almost, if it were me, I would combine all tech leaders and create a nice consortium of verifiable human presence, right? Where companies can really deal with humans and really make the bots go away, right? I mean, you've heard of fake account problems on X, and you've heard about billions of fake profiles on Facebook and tens of millions of bad LinkedIn accounts with scammers. I would be really excited about our technology being used by a lot of different companies in a cooperative way to make the internet a safer place for humans.
I love it. I mean, yeah, commerce is really the tip of the iceberg. It's a logical one to attack first, but the whole internet can definitely benefit from what Wink brings. What would you say to someone listening who's considering Wink? Maybe they're on the fence and this is intriguing to them. Can you talk about how they get started? Is it easy? Is it flipping on a switch with Bold Checkout? Or what's that look like if someone's interested and they maybe want to get started with Wink?
Yeah, if you're an e-commerce merchant and you are on one of the popular e-commerce platforms, you know, give Bold a call or give us a call and we'll make it really, really easy for you to create a biometric checkout experience. And if you have a retail or a physical store and you're looking at making a cashierless store like the Amazon Pick and Go, you know, that's a little bit of a work. But again, we would be excited to create experiences on those lines as well. But talk to us and bring us your thoughts. We are talking to a lot of companies, a lot of merchants, a lot of interesting use cases. We'll be able to lend some of our learnings as well to create a customized, tailored experience for you.
Deepak, I want to end on my lightning round. I got five quick questions. We're running up on time here. I could talk about this a lot more, but before we run out, we're asking, this is actually, I didn't tell you this, but you are episode one of season three. So we're kicking off a new season.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah. So for those listening right now, this is, well, they'll know because they'll see it in their apps, but this is episode one of season three. And every season I pick a different five lightning round questions. And at the end of the season, we do a blog post with everyone's answers and kind of summarize or put the answer to each question in the blog post. So it'll be a fun read at the end. So I don't know if you had a chance to look at them or not, but I'm going to fire them off. Five quick questions, and then we'll wrap up after that. Are you ready?
Yep.
What is the one thing you think every e-commerce brand can do better today?
Tell me when I'm going to get my product, exactly when I'm going to see it. It is in stock or not. Am I going to get it tomorrow or in 2 days? You know, just be explicitly clear about it. I would love that.
I agree. In 5 years, what will be the biggest difference in e-commerce technology platforms? So the technology that people are building on versus today?
Extended reality experiences. HTML is going to be history. You're going to feel like you are in a store, even when you are shopping online.
Mm. What would you say also in 5 years is the biggest, I mean, you touched on this a little bit, maybe this is overlapping, but what would you say in 5 years is the biggest difference in the way customers shop versus how they do today?
They'll be wearing some smart glasses and some AirPods and wanting to be in your store even from their comfort of their couch.
You're on the Vision Pro train. They'll be shopping from the, yeah.
Absolutely.
Do you have a set?
It's coming.
So what you do, pro tip, when you get them, go sit in a coffee shop and get a friend to film you and pretend you're drinking coffee and reading the newspaper or something and your post will go viral. That's what everyone's doing right now.
Typing in the air, you know, as if I'm really sending a chat as well at the same time.
And then people will film it. And that'll only last for a couple months, but you can do that for now. Two more questions. What's your biggest pet peeve when you shop online?
My biggest pet peeve when I'm shopping online, it's really about not having the clarity on what's available, what's not available, whether the item is in stock or not. they just make it really, really hard. Another pet peeve is Google search is really immaterial, right? With so much sponsored ads. Another pet peeve is the reviews. You cannot trust any of the reviews. You don't know which one's real, which one's fake, which one's paid off. That's probably an answer to your first question as well. Brands need to really solve that and figure out how you have really solid, unbiased reviews that their shoppers will appreciate.
I feel like there's actually an industry there that someone needs to build that is not anonymous, but independent reviews of products. And you send your products there, they get reviewed like a trusted source, because I agree.
Yeah, the high quality reviews, I mean, it's just impossible to rely on the reviews anymore.
Last question. What's your favorite online store and why?
Apple, the App Store app on my phone. I mean, some of these things, I know precisely when I'm going to get it, whether I can pick it up or it's going to get delivered. I know exactly what's in stock. I know exactly what it costs. I know exactly what the options are. And I exactly know what's not there and what might be coming month down the road. I think that's a brilliant experience.
I agree so much. And I always use Apple. You're talking about like the Apple Store, not the App Store, but like where you buy like a laptop.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, yeah. Like there's so many things they do well. I'm surprised how few e-commerce stores just straight up don't copy it.
Yeah, I'm surprised as well.
For what your product is, just say, make it look like the Apple Store, but for my shoe company or my sunglass company or whatever. Like, it's mind-blowing. I agree 100%.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you'd know right on the top, this product is at this store, can be picked up today, versus if I ship it, it's going to take 4 days. I know the color options. I know what's in the stock and not. And, you know, it's amazing. They've done a great job.
I'll tell you one thing I like about the Apple Store really quick here. I got a little bit of time. But if you go to the Apple Store, you buy a MacBook Pro 16-inch. Let's just say you're going to go buy. You click on buy. You'll be presented with two or three options. It's two, I think, for the Airs and three for the Pros. Do you want the 1 terabyte, the 2 terabyte? They might start at the 500 gig. I don't know. The 500 gig, the 1 terabyte, or the 2 terabyte. You pick the option. And then on the next screen, how much RAM you want, storage, which processor do you want? There's the things. It's all the same computer. You don't need to have those original three options in the beginning. You could just have one laptop that you pick your memory, pick your RAM, pick your processor. Do you want a mouse? Do you want a keyboard? But Apple knows that by showing two or three in the beginning, you make a step, you pick one, it's reducing the number of choices versus if I see a laptop and I see all these options, it's overwhelming. All I have to do is I have to pick, I want 1 terabyte. As soon as you pick that, on the next screen, you can change it to 2 terabytes, 4 terabytes, you can change it. You really haven't done anything. That first screen is completely useless other than it simplifies the process and it gets the customer to just make one choice and then select the next options. And like, that's just one example. There's a lot of things.
And it's very relevant information. You're not being given the backpack and the book light and all the other accessories that you might want, right? You're getting really relevant choices given to you or what you might actually really need.
Well, we could do a whole teardown on that site at one point. This has been awesome. Where do people go if someone says, yeah, I'm in, I want biometric checkout? Where can people go to learn more? What social platforms are you active on if someone wants to follow you? And where would you like to send people?
Yeah, wink.cloud is our website. Our developer page is on it. We also are pretty active on LinkedIn. Our handle on Twitter and Facebook is Winkverse, like Metaverse, Winkverse. So you can follow us.
I'll put it all in the show notes as well. Deepak, thank you so much. This has been really fun.
Thank you, Jay.
Have you ever had a great shopping experience in the store, found all the products you wanted, enjoyed the whole experience, but then had a bad interaction with the cashier when you were checking out? Maybe the line took too long, maybe they were grumpy or rude. The checkout is the handshake between you and your customer. It's a sensitive part of the shopping journey, and it can build trust and strengthen relationships, or it can ruin them. If you're interested in learning how to create amazing handshakes between you and your customers when they're checking out, we'd love to talk. Visit boldcommerce.com today to learn more.